This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
Welcome in. It is Bustin' Loose Baseball, episode 166. I'm Toby Altizer, joined, as always, by the great Grant Paulson. Opening day has come and gone at Nationals Park. It was a great day, a lot of fun, dominant pitching by both sides, Grant. Zach Wheeler had a really, really good outing, going six strong innings, giving up just the one run on a K-Bert Ruiz homer. But he was outdone by a spectacular Mackenzie Gore with 13 strikeouts, the most ever on opening day by a Nationals or Expos player, and only a couple of people in history, I'd have to double check if this for sure is correct, but only a couple people in history have gone 13 strikeouts, no walks, no runs on opening day. And from the stat I saw, it's Mackenzie Gore and Bob Gibson. And anytime that's the list you're on, it's a pretty, pretty good list to be on.
Outstanding performance, an absolute masterpiece from Mackenzie Gore, outpitched a potential Cy Young winner this year in Zach Wheeler, who's one of the top candidates in the National League. This is the ceiling. This is what we get so excited about, Toby, when it comes to Gore. Facing the minimum through six innings, just the one hit. It was then erased, caught stealing by K-Bert Ruiz, who we're talking about in just a few. But to go six innings, one base runner, punch out 13, the guy that at times has pitched count issues, walk issues, none of that rearing its head in a 93-pitch gem on opening day. I'm so happy for him. He pelted the strike zone. He dominated. You know, on a day where it's hard to keep your emotions in check. I mean, first opening day start ever, family in attendance, right? You're amped up. And he lived in the strike zone. He was untouchable for so much of this game. If you look at, you know, generating swings and misses, eight swing and miss offerings on 10 swings on his slider. 80% of the swings against his slider were swing and misses. Got six swing and misses on his fastballs. 20 whiffs in the game. There was a time where through five he had punched out 12 Tobes, and he had gotten a strikeout on 10 of his last 11 batters faced. Like shades of the Scherzer 20 strikeout game, the Strasburg 14K debut. It was that dominant.
Yeah, and usually these sorts of outings where Mackenzie Gore is able to put up decent strikeout numbers, it's something where he ends up having to get pulled after five, or you know, he's at 93 pitches through six on opening day. You know, you could have a discussion if this were in July or in June of whether he should go back out there for the seventh. On opening day, that's not going to happen. After the game, he kind of mentioned that, saying once you get to that 90-pitch mark on opening day, you're probably going to have your day finished. And, you know, Zach Wheeler was also dealing on the other side. He got pulled at 97 pitches. I don't think there's really much for debate there. I think it makes sense for him to be pulled. But usually the issue for Gore is even when he can rack up these nice strikeout numbers, it comes at the cost of throwing a lot of pitches. And that wasn't necessarily the case today. And I think you saw some growth after the game. Davey Martinez was talking about a moment in this game in the fourth inning where Bryce Harper came up to the plate and he went 3-0 against Bryce, and he was interested to see how he bounced back. And then three straight pitches, he strikes him out. He goes called strike on a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. He gets a foul ball and another fastball, and then throws a slider and strikes out Bryce, coming back from 3-0 to strike out one of the best hitters in baseball in Bryce Harper. You know, just that's kind of the growth. And I think for him, the stuff has always been obvious. There's no question about that. The fastball is electric. The breaking ball is good. So he's got the stuff that's necessary. But a lot of times for me, the issue for McKenzie and what was holding him back and part of what makes him great is what's between the ears. And he was able today to kind of channel it all. He was pitching more aggressively, I think, which comes back to mentality. But then also, Davey talked about this post game. Even when a pitch would miss or he wouldn't get a call to go his way that was borderline, it didn't affect him. He just went, moved on to the next pitch. And I think when you see him locked in like he was today, mentally and then obviously physically with his mechanics and everything today, these are the kinds of outings you can get where he looks like a dominant pitcher, because there's no caveats. I don't care about the shadows. I don't care. He was dominant today against a good lineup for the Phillies. It was really, really good. People play in shadows every single day in Major League Baseball for 4, 5, 1 o'clock starts. I do not care. There are caveats that have to be added to this.
Toby, and he allowed no runs with like 7 strikeouts or whatever on a 2-hit outing. And we wanted to talk about the shadows maybe. You know, and even still, so what? As you said, it happens all the time. It's a normal thing in baseball. This was rare error. You know, 13 strikeouts, no walks. This was attack mode, being a bulldog. Like all the stuff that we talked about with him throughout the offseason and over the last few weeks ramping up to the year in terms of what he has to do differently, he did all of that stuff. And the only thing I'd say that was still a carryover in terms of something you want to see him improve on this year, there were a lot of foul balls. I mean, this is just baked in, it seems like, with him. We saw this with Max Scherzer, who was an ace who would frequently go 7. And the reason maybe he didn't go 8 or 9 a lot of the time was he would have a lot of foul balls with 2 strikes as he was putting guys away. Gore did allow 25 foul balls today, 13 against the fastball, 7 off the breaking ball. You know, if that number is down around 15 or 17, you're getting quicker outs. Maybe it's not strikeouts. Maybe it's 10 Ks instead of 13, although he makes no bones about it. He said to me at spring training, his favorite stat is strikeouts, which today I think he's really going to like what he sees when he looks at his MLB.com line. But I think that's kind of the next phase, is if you can even be a little bit more economical or efficient, because they're going to want him to go 6-7 innings all season long. And generally speaking, you're not going to have one base runner. You know, you're going to walk a couple guys. You're going to give up 5, 6, 7 hits instead of one. And so the way you go 6 innings, he threw 93 pitches today. When you're doing that, is going to be some earlier outs and just less of those foul balls. But that's picking nits. I mean, this was just a dynamite, dynamic, masterclass, absolute gem. He outpitched Wheeler, man. 2-hit, 1-run ball over 6 innings for Wheeler with 8 Ks. And not only did he throw the ball better than him, he was the best starting pitcher in Major League Baseball on opening day. No bones about it. Like, nothing else to say other than he's the only guy on this staff that can do that. The ceiling he's had for a couple of years far exceeds that of anybody who's pitched here really post Scherzer and Strasburg. And you saw why today.
Yeah. And the reason that we're so high, we talk about him all the time on the podcast and talk about his ability to be an ace. The reason we're so high on him is because when he went out there, his mentality, and it was pretty obvious by the amount of first pitch strikes he threw, was, I'm going to live in the zone and I'm better than you. And there's not tons of pitchers in Major League Baseball that can do that. That's the select few. Those are the Paul Skeenses of the world. Those are those guys that just can mow through hitters. You know, obviously you want good command. Obviously you need to be in the strike zone to get all that stuff. But there are certain guys that just have electric stuff that they can live in the zone and they can get away with it because their stuff is so good. McKenzie Gore is one of those guys. And so when he goes out there today and able to get strike one on so many of these hitters, you know, that's something he talked about post game. Like, why were you so successful? Well, we got strike one, which allowed us to get to strike two. And obviously you finish him off. And if you eliminate some of those foul balls, whether I'm not even sure how that's done. I mean, that's tough because his stuff is so good, but sometimes guys can just get a piece of it. They can't square it up, but they can get a piece of it to extend the at-bat. But today he did a good job for the most part of, even when there were some drawn out counts, he didn't walk a guy. He didn't you know, fall behind very much this game. So he did a really, really good job of just continuing to move on pitch to pitch. And I think that's that mental growth you're seeing. And we've seen him improve every single year in terms of ERA. Let's see if he can do it again. I mean, going from a 3.9 last year, could he get down? And, you know, my bold prediction was under 3.5. I mean, if he can have more outings like today, which obviously this is a dominant outing, 6 innings, giving up only 1 hit, 1 base runner, and, you know, having 13 strikeouts isn't something you're always going to do. But having more outings where you're out there aggressive and you have your stuff working, if he can do that a little bit more, maybe we're looking at a really, really special year for him. So really, really cool to see him go out and play like he did today.
Look, the Nats lose, right? We get that. They lose opening day 7-3. But while the 10th inning, it gets away from them and they give up the 4 runs, 3 of them were earned. You had the courtesy runner at second to start the frame come around as well. We'll get to the bullpen. But through 9 innings, that's good, clean baseball against a World Series caliber team. Right, you're going to extras. It's a 3-3 game. They had to push a couple across in the 8th, but they did that. You get the great start, and then you get some timely hitting as well. We'll get to a couple of the standouts in the lineup in just a few as well. But let's talk bullpen. So I'll take the L for game one on Jose A. Ferrer. That is my guy, and I am not changing on that. I'm telling you guys. I mean, I look like such a jack. You know what? I tweeted something today as he's coming into the game, like, Davey should have brought him in to start the 7th, which I still believe is the case, and I'll explain why in a minute. But I said, prepare to fall in love. Like, you saw Jose Ferrer last year. He's gotten even better. The stuff is even better. We just got back from spring training a week ago. He's lights out. It's a 100-mile-an-hour fastball and a wipeout slider. He's going to be a badass. First pitch, home run to Kyle Schwarber. But I had just tweeted, prepare to fall in love. And then I had to kind of take the long, miserable walk down the diving board and jump into the pool of I'm an idiot on social media. Retweet myself and say, well, maybe you can fall in love another day. But I'll take the L today. 3 hits, 2 runs earned. One of the many relievers that had issues. Lucas Sims, I don't really know why they went to him with Bryce Harper, the second batter due up right against left. Gives up the solo shot to Bryce in 2/3 of an inning. Then Ferrer, a couple of the hits he gave up were more jam shots. But he did give up the home run to Schwarber. So 4 outs, 3 hits, 2 runs for him. Did strike out 3. Finnegan walked a couple. He did his best to give up runs in his outing, and he always does on opening day. Like, Finnegan's the man for stretches. He pitches like an all-star he did last year. I'm a believer in him. Probably in a first-division team as a non-closing real helper in the 7th inning or something. But if you guys are familiar with his history, the last couple of years – it's been some real crooked numbers on opening day in his first outing, right? He had a couple of walks, works out of the jam, the only guy who had the scoreless inning. Colin Poche gave it up and got knocked around in the 10th. But that was kind of the negative in this game was almost to a man. Sims giving up the Harper homer, Ferrer giving up the Schwarber long ball. Finnegan, even in a clean inning for him in the 9th, was not sharp, gave up a hit and 2 walks and loaded the bases. Poche obviously had a brutal first game as a lefty, but that was not the A plan. You're in extra innings and now you're kind of grasping at whatever's out there. And then Salazar gave up a hit and walked the batter. It wasn't clean for him either, even though he didn't give up a run. But for the bullpen, 6 earnies and 6 walks in the final 3 innings, not what the doctor ordered, as Gore's 6-inning masterpiece kind of went awry.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that I don't necessarily love how Davey managed the bullpen. I also don't know that even if he makes the decisions that I would prefer, if it goes any differently. Like, you know, you look in that 7th inning, would you rather just start out with Jose A. Ferrer? Maybe, and maybe it was a little bit differently. Maybe you don't give up the homer to Bryce Harper, but does it? I don't know. I mean, we can play this game all day. That the decision that I struggle with, and like you talked about, I mean, it's tough to really question what you're doing in extra innings when you've already used your A arms. Ferrer's already been used. You've used Sims in the 7th inning. You've already used Finnegan. So you're getting into the middle relievers, some guys that aren't really going to be used a high leverage all the time. But you had Poche on the mound. He got the first 2 guys out in the inning and Brandon Marsh. He got Trey Turner. He walked Bryce Harper. So now you've got runners on 1st and 3rd, 2 outs in the inning, and you left the lefty in to face a righty in Alec Bohm, and Bohm doubles and all of a sudden you're down two runs, and then they eventually bring in Salazar after he walked Kyle Schwarber, and then JT Realmuto comes up with a triple. And that's a play that I think Dylan Cruz would tell you he's got to make, even though it's a really difficult one. Not saying it's easy, but when we're talking about this guy as a potential gold glove guy in right field, he probably should make that catch, or at least make it a little bit. I don't know. I think he was there. I think he would tell you that he probably wants
sitting,
to make that
by
catch.
By the way, I never saw a replay of that because I was getting ready for post game and I was in the ballpark watching, but I was sitting, you know, where the red box is, for people that don't know, top of the left field bleacher seats, sections 106 and 107. So I never got a great look at that. I just saw that he went all the way to the wall, was kind of crashing into the fence. Did that get into the glove decently, or was it like off the edge of the mitt? Like what? How?
Yeah, I mean, he's over there. He's over there. I mean, it's not an easy one, but I think, you know, just about any outfielder would tell you that he gets over there. It's about just below the belts, and I think could have gloved it. I don't know that it's not one of those like he was fully extended. It just, it's a tough play. There's no question. It's full range. It's impressive he even got over there. So I'm not,
should they
I'm not
give them an error or no?
It would have been a tough error. I think you could go either way. I'm not really faulting Cruz there, but the point I'm going to make here is like, it's just, I don't necessarily agree with what Davey was doing in some of the decisions, but I also don't know that you can be too frustrated when basically everyone he turned to, with the exception of Kyle Finnegan, somehow gave up runs. And Finnegan, like you said, did everything possible to give up a run and found a way out of it. So I basically, it felt like whatever button Davey was pushing today with the bullpen was not good. And that could be an issue for the bullpen, because you suddenly see, like, if Lucas Sims, you don't want to overreact to one game, but if Lucas Sims can't be a reliable arm in the late half, and I still believe in Jose A. Ferrer, but if it still takes him a little bit of time to work in, are you suddenly back to the same thing again, where the only dude that you feel like you can trust is Kyle Finnegan, and every time Kyle Finnegan steps on the mound, it feels like you're riding a roller coaster? Sometimes it's good. Today, it was scoreless. It wasn't pretty, but it was scoreless. So it's going to be tough to watch this bullpen at times, I think, this year.
Well, frankly, until they get Derek Wall back, too. Remember, I mean, he's been one of their real key contributors in the middle innings. They don't have him, so that injury is going to hurt. They did sign three free agents, so I just think getting guys comfortable and acclimated and figuring out all the roles and, you know, some of those normal growing pains of the early season are going to be a factor. I'm not overly concerned.
I think, too, early in the season, I was a little bit curious why they left Ferrer in for so long. He threw like 34 pitches. But I also think early in the season, with a young ball club, that as much as they want to say that they're trying to compete for a playoff spot and this and that, I think they still understand where they're at internally, and they're going to give guys chances. Now, I don't know how much that factors in game to game, but why wouldn't you let Jose A. Ferrer see if he can get a guy out, see if he can get out of a jam, and suddenly a guy gives up a double and his line looks horrible? You know, like early in the season, I don't hate that idea, just to see who you can trust, to see who can stand in those spots, to see who can get out of them. So I think that plays a little bit. Davey kind of talked about that post game, basically saying, give these guys an opportunity and you'll kind of go as the season goes on, you'll understand your guys a little bit better, but it's early on. Guys got to get in there and prove themselves. And sometimes that's going to lead to them being in a tough spot and they end up giving up the hit there that costs them a couple of runs. And I think that's something that just happens early in the baseball season. It's opening day. You don't want to overreact, but it's tough for relievers when early on you give up a couple of runs and your ERA looks horrendous.
Totally. And now you got to throw eight really good outings in a row, basically, to bring it back just down into kind of normal range, which is why ERA as a stat for relievers, I think, is for the birds. But specific to Ferrer, I don't have a problem with 34 pitches thrown, to be honest, because they don't have a game tomorrow. Same with, you know, Finnegan, not that he threw a ton, but 23 pitches. I think they would have let him go toward 30 pitches, both of those guys. Now, ideally, you don't have to use Ferrer again, even on Saturday. You know, Irvin goes 6-7 innings, and you can kind of navigate it without having to go to the A bullpen. When you don't hit and you don't score, which is the problem for them today, you're not facing a Wheeler-type pitcher every game, although the Phillies' rotation is pretty loaded in this series, and that's why they're a contender for the World Series. what's going to happen is when you're in these tight games, you got to go to your A relievers. That's not always the case, and you can't manage, you know, 2 days from now today. So you let him give you that length. They were in the ball game. You needed swings and misses. He, more than any reliever in that bullpen this year, I think is going to be able to provide that to get out of jams. And when you got two on like he did, and I think at one point nobody out or one out, you know, he had to start missing bats, and he was able to kind of avoid some disaster, if not for his wild pitch. I mean, we're talking about two runs allowed on the day for this team and maybe a 3-2 win with the multi-run eighth inning. They also had their opportunities, by the way, to walk it off in the ninth. They went three up, three down. Even in the 10th inning, you know, as a pitching staff, Colin Poche had two outs in a row back-to-back, and they were on the verge of getting out of the inning with just a runner on second base and Bryce Harper coming to the plate left on left. And if you could have retired him at that time, he was 1-for-3, I think it was, or 1-for-4 maybe on the day because he drew the walk. Then, you know, you go to the 10th inning with a runner in scoring position and nobody out to start the thing, and your chances of winning are probably 60-70% analytically. So they had their opportunities. You know, they squandered chances in the 7th inning as well, but they played a competitive game against a superior team. And I just thought, if, you know, if you went to the ballpark and 42,000 people did, they announced a sellout, you got your money's worth, not only with the extra innings, even though it kind of caved in on them, but I thought pretty good, clean baseball for 9 frames.